The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
What's going on, y'all? This is Brandon Tatum. I just want to thank you so much for listening to my podcast. You can always get the podcast at Salem Podcast Network or wherever you listen to your podcast.
Brandon Tatum is a 7-year veteran of the Tucson Police Department. He's a YouTube sensation with over 2 million subscribers. He started Blexit with Candace Owens, and now he's tackling his biggest assignment yet. This is the Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. Y'all know I have to talk about these Memphis police officers who've been arrested and charged. The indictment is coming down for murder in the second degree, amongst other charges. The charges that I saw on the book so far is second degree murder, aggravated assault, aggravated kidnapping, and official misconduct is what the charges are. These police officers are all black men between the ages of 24 and 32. And they have experience on the police department for between 2.5 to 5 years. These police officers were a part of what they would consider on their department a scorpion unit. A scorpion unit is designated for high crime area, high saturation of specialized police officers that are there to stop crime. Now, I have my opinions about this because I never believe what the media says at face value. I never believe what the police chief says, because this particular police chief, I think her name is Carolyn, if I'm saying it right. It could be said. I don't know why she spell it like this. Spell it regular, woman. Carolyn Davis, who's a black woman, came out and made some of the most ridiculous statements that I have ever heard from a police chief. It is asinine to me that you are telling the public that a person is innocent until proven guilty, and you are making commentary about the conduct of your police officers. You are supposed to be impartial. You're making commentary about your police officer's conduct on a body-worn camera video that nobody has seen but the family. And of course, the criminal, and I don't call him a criminal, I can't stand him. I'm trying to find an adjective to describe him. But Benjamin Crump, who's an ambulance chaser, he's only involved with cases if you're going to make him money. If your son get killed today unjustifiably by anybody other than a police officer, Benjamin Crump will not show up to support you. But Benjamin Crump and the family saw the video footage. I want to read a clip, or at least a excerpt from what the police chief said, the Memphis police chief. It actually makes me sick to my stomach. She said in a statement, "I expect you to feel what I think it's Nicole's family feels. The Nichols family feels. I'm sorry. The Nichols family feels. I expect you to feel outraged in the disregard of basic human rights. I expect our citizens to exercise their First Amendment rights to protest, to demand action and results. But we need to ensure our community is safe in this process." What kind of police chief would say something like this before anyone else had a chance to look at the video? Lady, you are indicting your own police officers before they had a right to due process. It is stupid, it's irresponsible, and it bugs me. Because even if the cops are wrong, you are not a participant in the process. And you know what's funny is that these chiefs don't have a qualm about them to come out and say that the officers were wrong. But when the officers were doing something appropriate, they won't come out and say anything. They let the news run away with the narrative. And in this case, I wonder, is she trying to get ahead of something to save her, you know what, instead of keeping it real. I want to know. I haven't seen a body worn camera footage, so I'm not going to say these officers did it, because I have seen with my own two eyes 90% of these cases that they're claiming that the officers acted inappropriately, even getting indicted. These officers were not acting inappropriately. The Atlanta police officers that were involved in the tasing of a kid in the car got fired. They ended up suing the police department. I believe they sued as well as the officers in Rashard Brooks' case. They fired them. They wanted to indict those officers, and the fool beat up the officers, ran and turned the taser and pointed at the officer's face, which is a use of deadly force. And it necessitated a deadly force response. They were wrong in indicting those police officers. Wrong. You could go any, Philando Castile. That officer was not indicted because he shouldn't have been. Now, people may think, oh, that was a close call, but you got to look at the law. And I feel like that they are hell-bent on making examples of officers instead of holding the public accountable. Now, this is the prediction that I'm going to make. I'll just say something real quick. And I haven't watched the body-worn camera footage. It will be released, and I will do a full, thorough, fair review. And if these officers are cutting up, I'm going to call them out for cutting up. And if they didn't do nothing wrong, I'm going to say that they didn't do nothing wrong and they were justified under the law. But you know, people cave under pressure because they're not built for this. And I would argue that this police chief is wrong by coming out and making any statements whatsoever without due process. You're creating a narrative without anybody being able to judge the video for themselves. So I'll make this prediction. Very simple prediction. You don't get your kicked if you ain't doing nothing. I guarantee you that this person, this young man who lost his life at the hands of these police officers and others, because they did fire two Memphis fire department employees, and they're investigating another police officer for infraction of department policies. I guarantee you. And this was supposed to be a traffic stop. I guarantee you that he didn't just stop and follow direction of police officers. I can almost swear before God this wasn't a traffic stop like when I got pulled over, where you stop and the officers say, show me your driver's license and insurance, and you show them your driver's license and insurance, and the officer asks you to do something and you do it. I can almost put my life on it that that's not what happened. I bet you that he didn't follow instructions. He didn't follow directions. There was some resistance. There was some fleeing. I haven't seen none of the body worn camera footage, but I can put two and two together to say they could have been excessive in their use of force. They could have been wrong, but I guarantee you that this man wasn't just doing nothing, riding in his car, being a regular citizen. We shall see. And I will come back on the radio and say I'm wrong. It's two left shoes on an eight-legged man. If it comes to find out this man was just sitting in his car and was doing nothing and following every instruction, and five police officers just beat the snot out of him. I would almost want to bet I'd just quit the radio if that was the case. They just beat him up and he was just sitting in the car. Five of them beat him up. Now, you know, Benjamin Crump is one of the crookedest lawyers, in my personal opinion, only taking cases where he's going to make a lucrative paycheck on. His statement about the body-worn camera footage that he saw was that this beating was comparable to the 1991 Los Angeles police assault of your boy, Rodney King. Now, when they invoke Rodney King and some of these other incidents, I know that they ain't about nothing. Let me just explain Rodney King for you real quick. He deserved to get his kicked. They just did it too long. He deserved what he got. They just did it too long. He was in a high speed chase. What we learned in the police academy is that he beat a female police officer almost to death. They pursued him in a high speed chase. He never stopped. I mean, he was being pursued. He finally gives up and he never complied. He gets out of the car. He never complied. Put your hands behind your back. Stop resisting. Stop resisting. He didn't do nothing. They said, and they kept beating him. Now, after a while, you have to transition to something different than just throwing a stick at somebody. It just looks bad. That's why people are so outraged, because it looked bad. He deserved for use of force to be applied to Rodney King, hands down. And this situation is probably the same way. I'll tell you what, even George Floyd, he deserved to have that amount of force used against him. Chauvin just did too much. You can't tell me that he shouldn't have been on the ground. You can't tell me that he shouldn't have exercised police protocol in getting him under control. It's just that he stood on his neck too long. But don't act like these people don't deserve nothing. They just shouldn't have been. The cops shouldn't even been there. Watch you find out that this man had drugs on him. He was running. He had warrants. I mean, all of this stuff are telltale signs of how this can happen to you. As a black man, I've been pulled over. I've been pulled over. And I ain't never getting beat up or nothing like that. You know why? Because I follow the commands of the, say it with me, police officers. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
Say, you know, can we all get along? Can we get along?
COVIDTaxRelief.org got a small retail business almost $80,000. COVIDTaxRelief.org got a manufacturing business nearly $250,000. And COVIDTaxRelief.org just got a large distribution business, almost $900,000. If you run a business, a church, or a nonprofit and pay your employees through all or part of the pandemic, you could qualify for up to $26,000 per employee through the government's CARES Act. But beware of clickbait or pay upfront companies who make you do the work and take a huge percentage of your refund. COVIDTaxRelief.org receives a low reasonable commission only after you receive your refund. And with 300 CPAs and tax experts, no one is better at getting you the maximum benefit than COVIDTaxRelief.org. Visit COVIDTaxRelief.org now, because this plan expires soon. That's COVIDTaxRelief.org, COVIDTaxRelief.org. Refund examples are not a guarantee, and not all businesses qualify. Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. Let me tell you about my pillow towel set. You can get a six-piece towel set for $49.99. I know you thought I almost said a six-piece chicken and nugget, but you ain't getting chicken and nuggets today. You're getting towels, baby. If you're sick of these towels that do not work, do not dry you, do not function properly, get your MyPillow towels. It's very simple. They work. I use them at the house every single day, and they are absolutely awesome. And you get a discount. If you put in discount code Brandon at MyPillow.com, go to the radio special section, put in Brandon and get a discount. MyPillow.com, the coldest towels on the market. Get them today. Ladies and gentlemen, let me get back to these Memphis police officers. Let me just throw this out here. Just because they want to speculate, I'll give a speculation based on my training and experience and common sense. Now, I believe that it is unequivocal that these officers were wrong if they beat him up and killed him in his car. Because this was a use of force situation. No guns were involved. He got pretty much beat to death. If they beat him up in the car, are they wrong? Now, I know for a fact they didn't beat him up in the car. He was out of the car. So how did he get out of the car on a traffic stop? I guarantee you, like, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. I guarantee you there was some resisting arrest going on, criminal activity going on, and these people, they shunned all of it because subsequently he died a few days later after the incident. They don't want to talk about his criminal record. They don't want to talk about why the police officers pulled him over. They don't want to talk about where the initial use of force happened. They're not even going to talk about it. I swear, the God is my witness, I'm going to blast the police chief for 30 minutes if I find out that she was premature and making all of these statements about these police officers, and I watch the body worn camera and I don't see that, I'm going to blast her to my voice box go out. And I'm going to give the number to the police station, and I'm going to call down there. And if y'all want to call and tell her how you feel, I'm going to do that if she wrong. You just don't do stuff like that. If I was on a police department and my police officers had acted in a way in which is inappropriate, I'm not going to comment. I don't need to comment. I can say, you know, and maybe if I comment on something after the body worn camera is released and the public can see it and make an evaluation, then I may comment on why they were released from the police department, not any of the criminal accusations. But if I'm going to go down the path of making that statement against officers that do wrong, I have to stand up for my officers that do right. And I'm telling you, there's no, I was thinking about this. Me and my wife had spoke about this. Police officers need a Benjamin Crump for police officers. That when police officers get into something like this, they can have a voice. Because none of these cops can make a statement. They can't say, no, this is wrong. I ain't beat that guy up. This is bull crap. They lying. I know for a fact 90% of officers in these situations, they didn't do anything, but they can't say anything. Because technically it's under investigation. And the person that's dead, their family can say whatever they want to say because they're not a part of the investigation. But the police officers have no representation. And the truth of the matter is, you know, if you were an attorney, you can go and meet the police officers. They can give you some statements and let you know what's going on. And then you can release that information. And I wish that one of these police officers reach out to me. You can reach out to me anonymously. I won't even bring you up. I won't even bring you up because I got little birdies. Or you can have a little birdie float in the inbox, float on the email. You ain't even got to tell me your name or nothing. You give me some verifiable information. I'll get your word out there. I'll tell what really happened. And if you're wrong, I got to get you. That's just the way it is. I believe in policing is a, in my opinion, one of the most honorable things that you can do is patrol and serve your community, putting your life on the line for perfect strangers. That's the closest to sacrifices like Christ did in any profession. Military is probably one of the only other ones that you can make a tremendous sacrifice directly for the life of another person. Literally dying in the line of duty for people who probably don't deserve it. This is a very honorable profession. And I hold it dear and close to my heart to keep it honorable. And those who damage the badge, disrespect the badge, I'm going to call you on the carpet. You knew that when you signed up and put that badge on. And I'm not saying this as a pundit. I'm saying it because I got that badge pinned on me. My father pinned my badge, a respectable man who had a badge of his own. So I don't make criticisms because it's popular, because, you know, I want to go viral. It's because I believe that this is one of the most honorable professions, and I want to make sure that it has integrity. And I call out, use my voice to call out officers who are doing wrong and officers who are justified in their actions. Because they don't have a voice, I have to be the voice. And I'm fine with doing that. And there's been many occasions where I've gone out and I've stuck my neck out there for officers, and I said that they did what was right, and people hated me and they were talking trash about me, unfollowing me. And then the truth came out and they realized that your boy was right. I don't do commentary on police incidents that I don't know what I'm talking about. The reason why I haven't mentioned anything about these Memphis police officers is because I just hadn't looked it up. I hadn't looked into it. I didn't know what went on. I didn't know there was body worn camera or not. And so I didn't want to make a comment on it. But today, me and my producer got together. He sent me a lot of stuff so that I could be knowledgeable about what happened. And this is, you know, the knowledge that I'm presenting to you guys. I mean, these officers were on a special unit. And I guarantee you the reason why all of them are black is because they were probably on a special unit. And I say guarantee you, I don't know it for a fact, but just putting context clues together, all these officers are black. I'm pretty sure they were assigned to deal with crime in the black neighborhood in Memphis. You want to bet me? The Scorpion unit probably was a unit designated for black officers to patrol their own community. Because you get a white man in there and he get into something, they're going to blame him and say it's white privilege. They've given the authority to black officers to go in their own community and be able to exercise law enforcement without the initial indictment or the premeditated indictment just because of the color of their skin. I almost guarantee that's what the Scorpion unit is. I guarantee you, by and large, when you see this many black police officers in one incident, it's because they're in a specialty unit targeted at getting rid of crime that black people are committing in Memphis. I'm just throwing it out there. I could be wrong, and I'll correct it if I have new information that will contradict what I said. But your boy Benjamin Crump is the lowest of the low when it comes to people. And I sat on a panel with Benjamin Crump at an event. And just the snake oil that's pouring off of Benjamin Crump is mind-blowing to me. when you only go after you ambulance chasing, going after cases where you think you're going to get a payday. That's all this is. It doesn't matter if the police officers are justified or not. They're going to get paid. They're going to pay the family out. These cops could not get indicted or could end up winning a trial, not guilty, and they're going to still pay the family out. That's why Benjamin Crump is involved. I guarantee you, man, we need some police officer attorneys to show up and support police officers so they can get their message out there without them tainting the system before it all unfolds. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm running out of time. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
This is the Officer Tatum Show.
Have you ever picked up a towel set because it felt really soft in the store, but then when you go to use it, it's not very absorbent? It's basically a towel that leaves you out to dry. That's why MyPillow has developed the MyPillow towels, towels that work. I know, it's mind-blowing, towels that actually dry you. Their six-piece towel set includes two bath towels, two hand towels, and two washcloths. They come in a variety of colors, and right now, you can receive a six-piece set for only $49.99 with promo code Brandon. Go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the radio listener special. MyPillow products come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. To receive this amazing offer on the six-piece set off MyPillow towels, just go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special, and enter code Brandon. Or call 800-976-8379. That's MyPillow.com, promo code Brandon. Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I want to talk about this Virginia teacher who was shot by the six-year-old, and she claimed that the school failed to act on warnings boy had a gun. The six-year-old shot his teacher in the classroom. Criticism mounts for Virginia school district as officials leave post. Let me just give you an example. The reason why you're not going to hear much about this six-year-old shooting his teacher in the face or wherever in the chest is because he's black and she's white. The reason why you're not going to hear much about it is because the assistant principal, Ebony Parker, is a black woman. And you're not going to hear much about it because the superintendent, George Parker III, is a black man. You're not going to hear much about this because when it's a failure from minorities, they don't want to talk about it. They don't want to express it. They don't want to do nothing that will taint the image of their persona. And it's interesting because God is my witness. If it was a white kid shot a black teacher, they'll still be talking about it today. Talking about systemic white supremacy. That's what they be doing. But then they don't talk about it when it comes to this particular situation. So Ebony Parker was assistant principal. She resigned. George Parker III, I don't know if they're related or not. He was ousted. Or it says that spokesperson at CNN asked before the school board voted to oust Superintendent George Parker III, whose last day is scheduled for February the 1st. The board had appointed an interim superintendent. Now, the teacher is complaining that this kid had a gun, they had notified individuals, and nothing had been done. The six-year-old student brought his mother's legal gun to school and intentionally shot his first-grade teacher, Abby Zwerner, if I'm saying her name right, who survived the attack. They also claimed that the boy had disabilities. Well, the boy had disabilities according to his family. I want to read a little bit more of this article because I want to just express how the negligence happened at this particular school. It says, as an attorney announced her intent to file a lawsuit against the district, she said administration failed to act despite having knowledge of imminent danger. Abby and these other teachers at the school, I think it's called Ricknick Elementary School. It looked like Redneck. Ricknick Elementary School tried to do the right thing on January the 6th, but the administration could not be bothered. A school district spokesperson declined to comment on a possible lawsuit. Zwerner, which is 25, was initially in critical condition and later stabilized before being released from the hospital. The school has been closed since the shooting with plans to return Monday. And with the first day back looming, parents like Mark Garcia Sr., or expressing their concerns. His son is in the student's class. He told CNN and has been distraught since the shooting. He had made mention to CNN that this is a scary situation. My son is still scared. Now, I would like to know why they didn't act. Was it because the kid had a mental disability? Is it because they're completely incompetent? Or is it because he's a black and brown body? Now, let's read what happened going up to or leading up to the shooting. It says before the shooting happened inside of the teacher's classroom, there were some warning signs related to the student. The teacher's attorney alleged in a news conference on Wednesday, just before 11 a.m. that day, Zorna told administrators that 6-year-old had threatened to beat up another child. Administrator did not remove the student from the classroom or call security. Failure number one. Then it goes on to say an hour later, around 12:30 p.m., another teacher told the administration that she believed that the student had put a gun in his pocket and taken it out to recess. The administrator allegedly downplayed the possibility, responded the boy had little pockets, meaning that he couldn't have done that. Then shortly after 1 p.m., a third teacher told administrators that another child described by Toscano was crying and fearful, had information to the teacher that the 6-year-old showed him a gun at recess and threatened to shoot him if he told somebody. The fourth employee then asked the administration for permission to search the boy, but was denied. About an hour later, the 6-year-old suspect allegedly shot his teacher, the attorney said. Now, so many failures on so many levels. The real question as to this situation is why. And I'm getting ready to go to the break. So when we come back from the break, I'm just going to explain the reasoning why I feel like these failures are the reason for gun violence versus the gun being the problem. Let me tell you about Relief Factor. If you're looking for a solution to aches and pains, if you're looking for a supplement that works, Relief Factor is your supplement. I take Relief Factor every single day, and it works amazing. And if you're looking for something that can help you with joint discomfort or help you overcome joint discomfort and inflammation, Relief Factor is your supplement. It's easy to take, pop the capsules open, or at least pop the bag open, 4 capsules in it, drink it with some water, just some juice. I wouldn't advise it drinking with whiskey. However, you grown, you can make your own decision. Drink it, watch it work, and order more. I think it's one of the best supplements that I've ever taken, and the fact that it actually works like it's prescribed, then, you know, I think it's a no-brainer to give it a try. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call the number 804-RELIEF.
844-900-7243. That's 844-900-7243.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Alf Tatum Show. The Disney Empire is the self-proclaimed happiest place on earth. Well, right now, it's the happiest place for gay and transgender propaganda. In the new movie, Walt's Disenchanted Kingdom, you will see how Disney executives are purposely exposing your children to their LGBTQ agenda in the film, or in their films and at their theme parks. They're trying to seize the minds of children as early as possible to encourage kids to question their sexuality, grooming kids with their gay and transgender messaging, and producing one anti-Catholic movie after another. See the proof for yourself. Watch Walt's Disenchanted Kingdom, presented by the Catholic League, available for free right now at salemnow.com. Now the Disney theme parks have stopped using gendered greetings. Disney's condemned the Florida bill that bar teachers are teaching young students about sexuality and gender identity. It sparks controversy amongst Disney employees, and Disney has been denounced by the Catholic League altogether. You'll hear from Brent Bozell, founder of the Media Research Center, Bill Donahue, president of the Catholic League, Tony Perkins, president of the Family Research Council, plus David Horowitz, Dr. Ben Carson, and New York Post Miranda Devine, hosted by Mercedes Slapp and Will Witt, and more. Watch Walt's Disenchanted Kingdom for free. Just go to salemnow.com. That's salemnow.com. I want to finish my thoughts on the young man shooting his teacher. And it's funny that they put allegedly, so I guess it's allegedly. He shoots his teacher, and the parents are saying he has a disability. Let me just say this, man. My thoughts and prayers go out for everybody. Because as a parent, this has to be a nightmare for your kid to be the one shooting somebody. But I also say that there's consequences to your actions. The parents are saying that the kid has a disability. According to one of the parents, I think the mother said, our son suffers from an acute disability and was under the care plan at the school. The incident at the school that included his mother and father attending school with him and accompanying him in classroom every day. In the classroom every day. According to the family, the gun was allegedly secured before the shooting. Now, I'll say this. If the gun was actually secured and the kid in his disability was smart enough to somehow manipulate the security system that they had set in place and he got the gun and ended up shooting the teacher, I don't think the parents should be held accountable for that. If somehow he can he's smart enough to manipulate a vault or a safe or something like that, and he outsmarted you or somehow he got to the gun, I think that's less culpable than for a parent to just be leaving a gun laying around, knowing that you got a kid that's disabled. And the interesting thing about disability, I would argue this, and people would think I'm a crazy Christian, but I would argue that most disabilities are probably related to a spiritual warfare versus a carnal effect on the body. I think it's spiritual. Have you ever noticed that people with disabilities, quote unquote, most of the people with disabilities, they always do something evil with their disability. Oh, he's disabled, so he go and kill people. He tortures animals. He rages and scratches himself and cuts himself. It's like all these disabilities are never good. It's not like a person has a disability that they're just ultra loving and they love everybody and they hug everybody and all they do is they're happy every single day. It's a disability to be happy every day. Most of the disabilities that occur are people who are violent and suicidal or homicidal. And I would argue if people would actually get prayer and get demons exercised out of them, I think that many people would no longer have the quote unquote disability. Now, some people probably have brain injuries or whatever the case may be, but I think a lot of it has to do with the spiritual realm anyway. You could think I'm crazy if you want to, but hey, I believe what I believe. But Virginia law has that it's a misdemeanor if an adult were to leave a loaded, unsecured firearm in such a way that it could endanger a child under the age of 14. It is prohibited for a person to knowingly allow a child under the age of 12 to use a firearm. So either way it go, the parents are going to be in trouble. I just really believe if you know your kid got a mental illness or something like that, you need to keep the gun secured. You need to make sure that there's no way on God's green earth that kid can get to that gun because you know he's violent and crazy and y'all literally have to go to school with him every day. That should be the easiest thing in the book is to get you a safe and keep that gun away from that kid. Even if you got to carry the gun on you, just so you know where it's at all times and that kid don't get access to that particular gun. So anyway, I'm done beating a dead horse. Your boy, Colin Kaepernick, is still out here being anti-police, one of the fakest activists on planet Earth, and I don't know why people still believe or support Colin Kaepernick. I want to play his new documentary trailer here in 1 second, but I want to make this statement real quick. I want people to understand that I don't believe that Colin Kaepernick ever had good faith intentions behind kneeling for the national anthem. I honestly believe he was, in fact, protesting the fact that he was riding the bench to a white quarterback because once he met the girl, he wanted to grow his hair out and be pro-black, even though he was raised by nothing but white people his whole life. Essentially, he was white. What makes him black? Oh, his skin tone. But he was raised from a very small child to an adult by nothing but white people. Anyway, that's funny to me. It's crazy to me that we even live in a society where a mixed kid can grow up raised by white people and somehow be black at the end of the day. He grew his hair out. He became an activist. And I think his girlfriend convinced him that it was wrong that they benched the black quarterback for the white quarterback. And once he was on the bench, he began to pout. He used to sit on the bench. during the national anthem. That's pouting. And then he started taking a knee because he claimed some military veteran told him to do it, which I think both of them are crazy. And then he continued to do it. And then when they pressed him on it, he made this whole thing up about police brutality and fighting for people's rights and all this stuff. And the funny thing is he'd never been an activist a day in his life until he got to the NFL that year that he was riding the bench. When he went to Super Bowl, he wasn't an activist. He wasn't doing no activism in the offseason or anything like that. He was doing absolutely nothing related to activism until he was riding the pine and met that girl that got him radicalized. And these are just my opinions. But let me, before I go to the break, I got to tell you about Relief Factor, but I want to play his video after the break. So stay tuned. I'm going to play that trailer after the break. But I'm going to tell you about Relief Factor. If you're looking for a solution to aches and pains, if you look for a supplement that works, Relief Factor is your supplement. If you want a supplement that can fight off inflammation and that's 100% drug-free, look no further. Relief Factor is your supplement. Taking them twice a day will keep the pain away. That's what I say. You know, I met some people from Relief Factor. They said three times a day take the pain away, but I found that two times a day it works really, really well. And if you're in a pretty serious situation, you probably want to take three. Give it a try. Start with the three. Quick starter for $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com. That's relieffactor.com or call the number 800-4-RELIEF. Ladies and gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I want to play the Colin Kaepernick trailer, the anti-police docu-series that he's creating. Lord, I pray for his soul. Wrote a clip.
This is one of the most powerful projects I've ever been involved with.
911, what is your emergency?
I'm hearing all kinds of gunshots down the street from my house.
I had never known Bakersfield to be a violent place. That changed pretty quickly.
I came here looking for something.
I knew the homicide rate in Bakersfield was high. I didn't really know what that meant until I got here.
I'm not trying to be nobody.
Two people are dead and a BPD officer is in the hospital following an early morning shooting at a Southwest Bakersfield hotel.
My son died in a shootout.
F this, I'm calling the cops on the cops.
Walk the streets, Bakersfield.
The deadliest law enforcement in the country per capita.
The highest rate of officer-involved deaths anywhere in the country.
This is where the story takes a very bizarre turn.
And as you start unraveling the layers, you start to see that there's more than just a couple bad officers.
He had collected drugs and then sold for his own gain.
I was wrong, and I admit that today.
One side, a celebrated character in a movie, and then disgraced officers.
I began to not only bend the rules, I began to cross the line.
How many of you listen and judge me?
You don't have to experience what I experienced to really understand that there's a problem here.
The man is dead. These cops have no reason to do this to this man.
They're not supposed to be judge, jury, and executioner.
I never thought in my wildest dream that it was my son laying there in the sidewalk, murder.
My brother was an amazing person. He was so full of life. He had amazing kids. And, sorry.
Police department killed my dad.
They shot my son 7 times.
Look at what they're doing. And for those who can see it, it's very clear what they're doing. And for the people listening to the radio, it started out Bakersfield is the most dangerous place in California. And all of a sudden, the per cap, then it turned into police violence. It's crazy, man. I need to launch a documentary to give police officers a voice, because all they do is tear police officers down, 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 down. And the problem isn't the police, it's the people. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. This is the Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. Colin Kaepernick is a POS, in my opinion, coming out with a documentary just targeting police officers. And the funny thing is, when you watch it, it's just a bunch of beta males on there, and they got one bad cop that want to get on there and get his 5 seconds of fame by trashing other police officers. Let me just say this, and I'm not saying police, some police officers ain't bad. I absolutely despise the actions of bad police officers, and I hope they get life in prison. If you intentionally shoot and kill a person, intentionally, I'm not talking about this made up stuff because of social justice warriors. If you like the officer in Walter Scott situation, he shoots the now Walter Scott was a knucklehead for fighting the police and running in the first place. But the cop shot him in the back and then tried to place the taser there. I could get the death penalty. I think cops that do that need to get the death penalty. So there's nobody more enraged by bad policing than me. But the point of trying to make it seem like it's such a bad profession and cops are the big, they need to make documentaries about doctors and nurses and the medical industry, because you want to talk about murder and death. Malpractice kill over 200,000 people a year. It'll take 200 years or it will take 100 years for police officers to catch up to malpractice in 1 year. 1 year of medical malpractice. It'll take 100 years of police behavior in order to catch up to just that 1 year. But nobody's making documentaries about going to the hospital and the death that ensues. Nobody's putting doctors on body-worn cameras. They're probably not going to even put cameras in the room. All the misconduct from teachers. They don't want teachers with body-worn cameras. They don't want to put cameras in the classroom. But they make it out to seem like police officers are these bad people. It's rare that police officers get into shootings. I was on the police department for 6.5 years. I was on the SWAT team. I did a lot of stuff on the police department. High-speed pursuits, you name it. I was involved in it. Never been in a police shooting. I only knew like 2 or 3 people that was involved in a police shooting out of the entire police department. It's rare that you get in an actual officer-involved shooting. But according to the lamestream media and these beta males, they act like it's prevalent. Let me just give you an example of cowardice people that use their whole life to fight against the profession of policing. When I went and testified as an expert witness on behalf of a police officer in the Virginia incident with Nazario, I was defending, or I was at least on a defense team of Officer Crocker, and Officer Gutierrez had another defense team, but I was Officer Crocker as an expert witness on his side. But there was a police officer on the side of the plaintiff on Lieutenant Nazario's side. And that man got up on the stand as an expert police witness. And he said traffic stops aren't even that dangerous. I'm paraphrasing. Traffic stops aren't that dangerous, and they're not the most dangerous thing for a police officer to do. He tried to allude to the fact that they actually rarely result in death of police officers. And this dude's supposed to have been a police officer at one point. Just because you don't die every time during a traffic stop don't mean it's not dangerous. The only reason cops don't die more at traffic stops than they do at domestic violence situations, because we have an advantage by walking up on a person in the car, and we have tactics and training. That's the only reason why we don't die more times than not. And just because you're not dying don't mean you don't get assaulted, don't mean it's not dangerous. People somehow change their minds. They don't want to drive off no more, and they don't want to shoot and kill you. I remember I had pulled onto this incident. I wouldn't call it an incident. It was a traffic stop. The GTAC units, the gang task force units, had stopped a guy in a minivan. It was multiple guys in a minivan at a QT. Not a QT, it was a Circle K. And I said, you know what, I'm going to see if I can be of assistance. So I pulled over there, I checked out, and, you know, they were just barely getting people out of the car. And so there was one guy in the car that refused to get out. The sliding door on the minivan didn't work. So they text me, hey, man, get that dude out of the car and get him on the side and handcuff him. So I go through and talk to the guy. He's being non-compliant. He had a bag of he had a Taco Bell bag. No, it was actually Jack in the Box. Bag of food right next to his leg. And he was being uncooperative initially. I said, get out of the car, man. I mean, look, I'm not going to ask you more than one. I'm not going to ask you more than twice. You need to get out of the car. And so he finally got himself in a position to get out the front door. I got him. I put him in handcuffs. I mean, I went to go to arrest him. I put his hands behind his back. He started tensing up. And I grabbed his hand hard as I could. And I said, hey, man, you better follow direction or it's going to be a bad day for you. And he ended up relaxing his hands. I put him in handcuffs. Come to find out, he had drugs in that Jack in the Box bag. A Burger King. It was Jack in the Box. In a Jack in the Box bag. And he had a loaded gun under the seat right next to the bag. And he was on probation to where he was going to go back and do 25 years in prison if caught in violation of his probation. So clearly he was in violation of probation in possession of dangerous drugs, prescription drugs, and also in possession of a firearm illegally. Now, he could have shot and killed me on that traffic stop if he wanted to, because I was completely unsuspecting that he had a gun down there and I couldn't see him because the sliding door wouldn't work. So I have to kind of talk to him through the door. And they were trying to play it cool with him. I was trying to play it cool with him because what am I going to do, argue with him outside the van? But he could have easily reached down and grabbed that gun and start shooting. And I could have got hit with a lucky shot in the head and I'd have been dead. Wouldn't be talking to you guys today. But because of officer presence and maybe because I seemed very serious about what I was doing, that he probably, you know, talked himself out of potentially shooting and killing me. And even when he started tensing his hands up, because I grabbed his hands a lot harder than he was tensing up to let him know this ain't no game, bro. I ain't here to play games with you. You start trying to fight, it's going to go down. You're going to be in a coma. So you either do what I ask you to do and everything cool. You start tensing up and want to fight and do all that, then you're going to get that work. That's just the way it's going to happen. And sometimes when you're an officer, you may have to say some stuff to people to get them psychologically in a position to say, I don't want to mess with that officer. You start being a coward and a punk and being all nice to him and rubbing his back and reading him lullabies while you're trying to make an arrest. They're going to say, man, this dude a punk. I'm going to beat this cop up and I'm going to run. I'm going to take off and I'm going to be good. They don't do that with cops that they know ain't playing. They want the path of least resistance. You walk up and soft handing and being all nice to him. And, oh, sir, please. Oh, please. Oh, please. Please. I don't want to ask you again. Please. Homeboy like, man, I'm going to work this dude and I'm going to be gone, free. Think I'm going to go 25 years in prison or run through this little beta. That's what happens. That's why, you know, nowadays they try to act like cops are excessive. Nah, you need to tell them, you need to put the fear in some of these people. You need to let them know, like, bro, this ain't no game. You fight me, you're going to lose miserably. It's better for you to take this arrest and go to court and fight it. Because of the sideline, you know, doing it in the court side, or they call it a curbside courtroom, ain't going to go well for you whatsoever. You know, and that's what kind of cop I was. Man, I was very nice to people. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Put your hands behind your back. You know, we were taught ask, tell, and make. Now they teach them all kind of stuff, just like wussies. They teach them all kind of stuff to be soft. Tell them, ask them, you know, what they had to eat today and if they're feeling well, and give them a towel to put on the back of their neck during their rest and rub their back and tell them everything is going to be okay. And you don't have to comply if you don't want to for the next 30 minutes. We're just going to play around for a minute and let you do whatever you want to do because you don't feel like going to jail today. That's what they tell them today. When I was in the academy, it's ask, tell, make. I'm going to ask you, sir, put your hands behind your back. I'm going to tell you, put your hands behind your back. And then I'm going to make you. And that progression keeps police officers safe and allows the public to know that, look, man, this ain't no game. This is not the movies. This is not Benjamin Crump's world. Law enforcement is law enforcement. I'm going home to see my family at the end of the day. And you want to play with your life, you can play with your life. And that's just how I was rolling. I mean, I don't know. I gotta keep it real with y'all. I wish all police officers like that. Be nice until you don't have to. Anyway, hold the phone. I'm running out of time. I'll be back after the break.
This is the Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen and ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I just get so in my feelings when it comes to police in America, and it bothers me. It bothers me, bothers me, bothers me. But I'm going to get a couple callers in, and then we're going to transition to a couple other things, because I want to talk about Leo Terrell just literally going off on Daryl Parks over CRT. It was hilarious. What an awesome clip. I can't wait to show it to you. And then also the mainstream media reacting to Donald Trump getting reinstated onto Twitter and Facebook. I mean, not Twitter and Facebook, but Facebook and Instagram. The fallout with that. I want to talk about that here soon. But let me bring a couple people in as callers. So let me see. Josh from San Bernardino, California. Welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
Officer Tatum, how are you?
I'm doing well. How you doing, Josh? Welcome to the show.
I'm doing good. Thank you. Officer Tatum, I got to say you're doing a good job. I appreciate your emotion, your passion. And just want to back you up on this documentary for the police. Ever since the defunding the police happened because of course, the Floyd incident, I think a lot of officers that are good men, good women out there are getting a bad rap because of those bad apples. And I think your idea of a documentary is perfect to show that not everybody that goes in is looking to kill somebody. And you mentioned that it's not a common thing out there, officers shooting their guns. It does happen, but I back you up 100%. We need a documentary to show the true job of an officer.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Josh, thank you so much for the call, and thank you for the endorsement of that. I think wholeheartedly that we do need a documentary, and I think I'm the right person to do it. Because one thing people don't understand about police officers is that you only understand policing when you actually do policing. I hate to say it. I know a lot of people support police officers and they feel like they have a good understanding. But it's like one of those things that when you put the uniform on and you actually go through the process, and I'm not talking about policing, you know, in a small agency with like two or three officers, you understand policing, but you don't. You may not get exposure as fast, right? So if you're at a smaller agency, you may be on a police department for 10, 15 years, and you'll get the exposure that a person on a major police department would get in 6 months. And that's no lie. I know police agencies that have like, you know, 15 people or 20 people on a whole police department. And, you know, they may have one homicide that they've investigated. They may have gotten into a police shooting. They may have done one high-speed chase. You go to a major agency, and I'm talking about my agency was like a mid-level agency when it comes to crime and stuff like that. But like these bigger agencies, I mean, they're getting homicides two or three times in a week. They're showing that they're in compromising situations. Multiple officers have died on our police agency. 30, 40, 50 officers have been killed in the history of their police department. Like these bigger agencies see a lot of stuff. And I'd say that a perfect balance of an agency where you're not too inundated and you're not too small is a department like the one I worked on. We had about 700 and some officers. We should have had 1,200 officers if we were actually at capacity. But, I mean, the academy was 17 weeks, so it wasn't as long as in Texas. So you get pure exposure to all this stuff. And we had a dangerous city. Per capita, we were the most dangerous city in the state of Arizona. And you know, it was out of control. I mean, my second day on the job, I saw a homicide. I went to a homicide where these Asian guys were all friends, about 20 of them. Or not 20 of them, it was a few of them in the house. And then two friends that have been friends for 20 years got into an altercation. One guy hits another guy in the head with a beer bottle. The guy who was hit with a beer bottle leaves. He was drunk. He leaves, comes back with a gun, and ended up shooting and killing his best friend. Shot him right in the head. My second day on the job, I had to go respond to that call. And I didn't know what was going on. Now I'm not going to sit here and act like, oh, yeah, I handled the scene. No, when you're a rookie, you're fresh out the academy, you don't know what the is going on. You have no idea. You have a basic knowledge of policing. There's not enough training in the academy to prepare you for real life. They can get you some working knowledge of some of this stuff, but in real life, You know how overwhelming it is to get to a homicide scene where somebody's laying and they're gasping for air? It is absolutely traumatizing. And then you have to be able to put it all together. What officer should go here? Delegate this. Here, you take pictures. Call crime scene. You tape off this area. Suspect description. You know, you got to deal with the gun, you know, because somebody there actually knew kung fu and ended up taking a gun from the suspect and had him at gunpoint when you showed up to the scene. But without exposure and experience, you a deer in the headlights. My FTO said, hey, man, hold this camera and stand over here and don't touch nothing. That's what he told me my second day on the job. So, and I remember another thing, my first day on the job. We had a potential burglary suspect. Suspect vehicle was identified. He's driving the opposite way in traffic. I'm waiting at the light because I didn't want to violate the traffic while I'm driving in a police car. And my FTO is like, you're the police. Put your emergency lights on. Do a U-turn in the middle of the street right here. We got to go catch the guy that's burglarizing people. I mean, this is something that it's not what you think. It's not the movies. It takes about 5 years for a police officer to kind of get their feet under them and be able to actually police as a solo police officer and be effective. I'm not talking about for you to do case reports, but like be effective. Show up at a scene. You got homicide, you got shell cases, you got people laying out, you got witnesses. You got to be able to get on the radio and direct people in. We need air support unit. Here's suspect description. You got to brief detectives. Like, it's so much stuff going into policing that the average person have no idea about. It's so much fear going to policing. It's so many things that the average person wouldn't know about. It's easy to, even if you do a ride-along, which I suggest everybody do a ride-along, you don't actually have to take action. You're just in the car with the police officer. And to me, that'll give you a quick understanding of like, holy smokes. I remember when I did my first ride-along, when I was doing an application process with the police department, I said, let me do a ride-along and make sure I actually want to do this. Because, you know, I never thought about being a cop a day in my life. I just really needed a job, to be honest. I had a young son, and I was like, I'll do whatever. Whoever called me first is the career I'll do because I need benefits and stuff. I had to do what I had to do as a father. But I said, let me do a ride-along and see if I actually want to be a police officer before I finish this process. I did a ride-along, and I blew my socks off. I could not believe the amount of chaos that goes on in the city every day. I could not believe how fast police officers had to drive in a car going code 3 lights and sirens. I couldn't believe the type of calls they have to go through. They can't punk out. You don't want to see a man brains blown out that committed suicide. You don't get to say, I don't want to go. I ain't feeling it today. You got a man shooting people in a mall. You don't get to say, hey, man, my kid's birthday is tomorrow. I'm not going to that call. I'm not finna die for nothing. You don't get to do that as a police officer. You got to suck it up and put your life on the line and pray, God, let me make it out of this, but I got to get it. Some people don't have no idea about that until you wear that uniform. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
This is the Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. Some people may not think it's important to understand policing, but I'm just telling you, as a citizen turned police officer turned retired police officer, I like to say I retired. Resigned sound bad, but I left the police department after 6.5 years. But I mean, I feel like I had experience of like 10 years, 20 years, 10, 15 years on most police departments. I mean, you name it, I did it. I was a PIO. I was a field training officer. I trained at least 3 or 4 officers. The reason I didn't train more officers because I was on the SWAT team. I trained at the academy. I did homicide investigations. I was a part of a big federal investigation involving a family, a male and female, who kidnapped their kids, had them locked in a house for 2 years without them even seeing each other or ever walking outside. That was a big situation. It was, I forget the name of the family. It'll come to me in a minute. Homeboy spit on my uniform. I wanted to beat his brains out, but I didn't because I have integrity. I can't think of the name of the family. Richter, Sophia Richter was the mom. And so I was a first responding officer in that situation. And we ended up getting the guy and the woman and then found the kids in the bedroom. They had been locked away for 2 years, man. They hadn't even seen each other for 2 years. They hadn't been outside in 2 years. They were eating slop that they had in the refrigerator, and every time they had to use the restroom, they used to have to put a hat on. He'll put a sheet over their head so they can't see their way around, escort them to the bathroom, and then back to the room. Had loud music playing 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, so they couldn't communicate with each other. I hope he get Big Johnny in his cell, and I hope he get toe up every night for what he did to them kids. And I hope he repent. Anyway, I was a part of that situation. I've seen people beheaded. I've seen people laying body parts all over the freeway because people drunk driving. I've seen people killed drunk driving. People died in my arms. I saved a girl off from jumping off of right there on Miracle Mile in the I-10, right in front of the police station. So Miracle Mile and Fairview, in between there is a bridge that goes over train tracks. The girl was hanging off the edge of the train track. I was the only officer in the area. I responded, and I ended up pulling her off the bridge. Thank God I didn't fall over with her, and ended up saving her life. Had a woman pull a gun on me. I mean, not a gun. She pulled a knife on me. And I didn't kill her, which I could have. But, you know, I felt like God was leading me to make sound decisions and do well when I was a police officer. I've been in plenty of fights, use of force, everything but an officer-involved shooting. And I guarantee you, if I was on the police department for 20 years, I'd have been in at least one of them. I've seen funny. I've seen sad. I had to take people's kids from them. I mean, you go down the list. You go down the list. Remember body slamming a guy, had a gun on him, tried to shoot me and another officer, you know, but he didn't get a chance to get to the gun because I had to put that work on him. But, you know, I've been through it all. I mean, just a lot of stuff. Homicides, rapes, investigating all kind of stuff, child rape, murder. I've seen dead kids. Like, I've seen it, a lot of it in 6.5 years. Stuff that's stained in my consciousness. Just imagine police officers doing 20 years, 30 years under the police department, 15 years on the police department. I mean, when you look at when you're in the presence of a man that has done 15 years on the police department, what's behind his eyes that's in his soul and his consciousness is something you have never experienced before. This is a person who you cannot understand, because if you experience 30 minutes of a shift from that man that you're looking at and talking to, you would probably be crazy. The amount of pressure, instantaneous split second pressure that you go through day in, day out, the amount of adrenaline that go through your body and adrenaline dumps that occur every single day will make you crazy. I'll never forget the adrenaline. I've never seen grown men shake before, men in uniform. So when we were dealing with this lady on 11th floor, high on PCP and all kind of stuff, hanging off the edge of the building. And when you're physically there and you're watching her lose grip off the side of this building, where she literally almost fell off the building 2 or 3 times. And you know that when she fall from 11 stories, you're going to have to watch her hit the ground, and you got to put the pieces together. Cops don't get to walk away from that. We got to help OME put the body parts back in the body bag and do an investigation and take pictures and have crime scene come out and notify next of kin that your daughter just jumped off 11 stories and you don't want to see her. So, but the adrenaline dump after that situation was out of control, literally shaking. But let me tell you about Relief Factor before I go to the break. If you look for a solution to aches and pains, if you look for a supplement that works, Relief Factor is your supplement. I take Relief Factor every single day, and it has done wonders for me. I remember telling you guys before about chest tightness that I was having. I was taking Relief Factor, and it went away. And I would argue it could be inflammation. It could have been inflammation in my heart. I don't know what it is. I'm not a doctor. But all I know is I felt so much better when I started taking Relief Factor, and it took it away. I was impressed. I told the CEO of Relief Factor, the founder of Relief Factor, this exact story. I went to dinner with him, and you know it is impressive the stories that I've heard of how Relief Factor changed people's lives. And you know, because of legal reasons that we can't guarantee that it's gonna somehow do certain things to you, but we can't. I can tell you by personal experience that it's been a blessing. Go to relieffactor.com or call the number 804-RELIEF.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. Keeping it real.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I want to introduce a special guest to you here on the show. I want to read his bio before I tell you too much about him. He's associated with the documentary or the movie that I've been telling you guys about, Walt's Disenchanted Kingdom. But I want to introduce to you guys Bill Donahue. Bill is the president and CEO of the Catholic League of Religious and Civil Rights, the nation's largest Catholic civil rights organization. Bill was honorably discharged from the U.S. Air Force in 1970, and he began his teaching career in 1973. So that tells you he's been teaching way longer than I've been alive. Bill's an author of 9 books and thousands of articles. His first book, The Politics of the American Civil Liberties Union, was published in 1985. Bill has plenty of books that he's written, a tremendous guy, winner of several teaching awards and many awards from the Catholic community. So, ladies and gentlemen, help me welcome Bill Donahue. All right, Bill, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show. I've been talking about Walt, Disenchanted Kingdom, and I want to ask you, what was the motive specifically, and why did you think it was important to make a movie such as this one?
Thank you so much, Officer, for having me on and for the kind introduction. Let me tell you something. I think most Americans, I have a couple of kids and grandkids, they're fed up. It's gone too far. It's one thing to be tolerant of different peoples, and we should be tolerant of different peoples and different cultures. We understand that. But what we're talking here is sexual engineering. And I don't care whether it's straight or gay. When you have kids in the kindergarten, first grade, second grade, third grade, I was in Spanish Harlem. I talked to black and Puerto Rican kids, great kids, in a Catholic school back in the 1970s. I can still see the face of my kids. And how dare somebody try to tell them, when they just get off their tricycle, are you happy being a boy? Are you sure you're okay being a girl? To plant the seed that they want to transition to another sex, which is a sense of madness to begin with, even for adults, but it's child abuse when you deal with kids. So I felt we need to put together something with an all-star cast, get it out there. A lot of people are fed up. I'm hoping that this will be a cultural marker, and I don't believe in iron laws in history. It's possible. I'm not saying it's going to happen. It's possible that Disney will get the message and at least tap the brakes.
Well, I think that's an incredible, articulation of what I see going on, especially as traumatizing for parents now to have to look through every single ounce of film that you see from Disney. But I want you to specifically talk about specific things that Disney has done that has drawn you guys to making this documentary to expose their dirty deeds to the world. What are some specific things that you could recall that literally makes your blood boil and a reason why the world needs to know what Disney is doing?
I think the principal reason, Officer, was when they decided to get involved in politics in Florida, they should have been agnostic. That is to say, they shouldn't have taken a side. And if they're going to take a side at all, take a side on parental rights. All Governor DeSantis was doing was to say that kids 5 through 8, kids in kindergarten through third grade, should not be exposed to any kinds of discussions about sexuality. That's a parental right. It's not the job of the state. And when Disney decided to get involved against the right of parents, at that point, going back to April the 8th, to be exact, Officer, I wrote a letter to Bob Chapek. At that point, he was the CEO. And I said, listen, Tony Perkins is a great evangelical. He runs the Family Research Council. He's a friend of mine. I'm a leading Catholic layman. Would you sit down and talk with us? You know, you believe in inclusion. Well, you've already spoken to one side. What about our side? We wouldn't even hear from him. It just simply blew us off. And I said to Tony, you know, we got to do something. I'm just not going to put out another news release and write an article about it, go on radio or TV. I've got to do something about this. And we discussed the ideas, and I think it was Tony's idea, actually, to come up with the documentary. And the response so far, it's only the first week, and I know it takes a while for people to look at it. It's 50 minutes long. It's been very, very encouraging. And we're also getting a lot of nice feedback, including from the gay community. They don't want to be associated with this. And they don't want to be associated with the idea of trumping the rights of parents. This is an old idea, you know, quite frankly. It goes back to Plato, the idea that the children don't belong to the parents, that they belong to the community or the state. No. My kids are my kids, your kids are your kids, and the state has a role in education, yes. But let them do numerics. Let them do arithmetic. Let them learn the ABCs. Why are we teaching them about sexuality and the idea that they might want to consider transitioning to another sex? Now, that's off the charts. That's off the charts.
Yeah, thank you, Bill. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Bill Donahue, the president and CEO of the Catholic League of Religious and Civil Rights. Also, we're talking about the film Walt Disenchanted Kingdom, which is a new documentary that's out at salemnow.com. That's salemnow.com. Y'all need to go and check it out. Bill, I have one more question for you. And this is the question that's been boiling in my mind, is that why are they doing this? We know that they're doing it. We know that they're trying to get children involved in sexuality at a very young age. I mean, they're pushing propaganda. And you just said it. People that normal people who are gay or lesbian or whatever, they don't even believe that it's right that they've gone this far. But the question that I have for you is that why do you think that they're doing this? What is their motive for doing this to children?
Well, I think they've been listening to a small minority, a vocal minority. We now have the tyranny of the minority, and those particular people who are pushing this, they don't believe there's such a thing as truth. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in human nature. They think everything is a social construct. It's not. Human nature is fixed. It's unchangeable. There is a God. Now, if you don't want to believe in God, that's your belief. But quite frankly, the Disney corporate hierarchy thinks that it'll be chic, will be well respected by a lot of the secular elites. I think if they had to do it over, I think they'd realize they've gone a little bit too far. And if they want to continue with this woke agenda, then they're going to have to pay a price in many different ways at the box office. Already people are canceling the subscriptions. All we're asking them to do is go back to where you started from. Walt Disney was a good man. All he wanted was to make people happy and get back to being family-friendly. Don't take the radical left ideas, because they're always a disaster. I don't care what the subject is. The radical left has always been a disaster.
Bill, thank you so much for coming on. Ladies and gentlemen, you listen to Bill Donahue. Thank you so much, Bill. I cannot wait to watch the Walt Disenchanted Kingdom. Y'all need to go on and see it. It's at salemnow.com, salemnow.com. God bless you, Bill. Thank you for coming on the show. You have a wonderful, wonderful day.
You too. God bless you too, Brandon.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you about Relief Factor. If you're looking for a solution to aches and pains, if you're looking for something that works, Relief Factor is your supplement. I take Relief Factor every single day. It's 100% drug-free, and when you take it, you're going to feel better. Why in the world would you walk around with joint pain, discomfort, when you can have Relief Factor? It is a no-brainer to me. Get started with the 3-week quick starter for $19.95. 3-week quick starter. Get in your system, watch it work, order more. Go to ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com, or call the number 800-4-RELIEF, and make sure you go see this documentary, Walt's Disenchanted Kingdom. Go to salemnow.com, salemnow.com. Bill Donahue said it correctly. You need to go see it. You don't want to miss it.
Come together. Yeah. 844-900-7243. That's 844-900-7243.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I want to say something real quick, because this pertains to the conservative side. Can you stop with the conspiracy theories? Damar Hamlin is alive. We don't know if he even got vaccinated. And we don't know if him collapsing was as a result of vaccinations. Can we stop it already? People got mad at me, and I don't give a flying flip. If you're mad at me, I'm going to tell the truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God. Can we stop with the conspiracy theories? Now people are saying Damar Hamlin is dead. They literally saying he's dead. And they're saying that they're trying to cover up his vaccination status by parading him around as if he's alive, even though he's dead. That sounds just as dumb as the lady that they claim died. I forget her name now. That they claim died in police custody. She actually killed herself. She committed suicide. The cops didn't kill her and then take her to the jail and stage it. It is dumb to think that. Let me play the clip, because they said Josh Allen, who's the quarterback of the team, they were saying that Josh Allen admitted that he was actually dead and that he's a part of the conspiracy. Listen to what Josh Allen said. You can see the clip for yourself. You can hear it for yourself. Listen to the clip. Roll the clip.
So Newsweek, New York Post, and other outlets are running stories about a Damar Hamlin conspiracy theory in which people are suggesting that he was not at the game on Sunday and that it was some sort of body double conspiracy cover up. It goes on and on and on into the tinfoil hat territory. Would you like to debunk that conspiracy theory or maybe confirm it?
Yeah, that's stupid. That you said there's mainstream media outlets pushing this?
There's mainstream media outlets. There's people with like really legitimate heavy followings who are saying the fix is in. That was not DeMar. His face was covered. He had sunglasses. He had a hat. When they went to him on CBS, you couldn't see him. And that there's this next level conspiracy that was actually not DeMar Hamlin at the game. They're saying it.
One, that's DeMar's swag. That's what he liked. He likes wearing that. Two, he was in the locker room with us pregame. So, yes, that was DeMar. There's absolutely zero chance. There's absolutely zero chance. That's
okay,
DeMar Hamlin. That's our guy. That's our brother. He was with us pregame, postgame. He was up in the suite with his family, his little brother, 100%. So people need to stop.
Okay. You heard it from Josh Allen. You heard it from Josh Allen right there. So when you see people posting online and saying that he really dead and they covering the vaccine, just know you can't listen to that person no more. They didn't gone too far. They didn't get vaccine injuries are real, but they didn't gone too far. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
You may not want to hear it, but is it true? The Officer Tatum Show. The Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to The Officer Tatum Show. I wanted to play this clip of Leo Terrell just giving this liberal the business about CRT. Let me just explain CRT real quick to people that are not aware of this. They are trying to force a curriculum of hate and division onto our children. This is not critical race theory, meaning that it is the idea that we want to find unity and equality and none of this stuff. It's biased theology from the perspective of a social justice warrior in order to put this in the minds of young children who don't understand or can't cognitively understand the concept of race and the different things that they're projecting. Critical race theory was a theory in law school. I mean, you're talking about on a doctorate level of education in critical race theory, and they're trying to project that, manipulate it, and influence children on this concept so they can get them to be divided at a very young age. I want to show you the clip from Leo Terrell and him giving a shellacking to a person named Daryl Parks. Roll the film.
And I did the curriculum. I did on this class. This class talked about subjects and issues about Q theory. I taught U.S. history. Never taught that in my life. How could that be part of African American history? Also, critical race theory, which gives the impression that black people by birth are at a disadvantage over white people. Where is that in U.S. history? Where?
All right, answer Darryl, those two answer. Questions
for the
All
Fox
right, let,
View.
Let Darryl answer.
Answer those two questions. Here's the question. You're targeting the queer answer. Part of it. Listen. It talks about Black Lives Matter. They want to take that
Darryl,
out.
Darryl,
he changed the subject.
Darryl, to be fair, answer his question.
No, no, we're not. Please, Sean, shut up, Leo, for a second. Shut up for a second. Listen.
You shut up. You went personal.
If you're going to talk about black history, right, there's no way that you don't talk about LGBTQ without knowing the full history of America and what's going on in black America right now.
No,
it's a part of our history, so we should talk about it.
Put it in another class. Put it
right.
in another
this
class.
Is the right class.
It's not part
it.
Of African American history. You can smell all you want.
We gotta leave
you didn't
it
learn
there,
that
guys.
When you taught when you learn US history.
Leo, thank you.
I love Leo, man. Leo 2.0. He got a hat. Leo 2.0. We need to make Leo's merch over here at the Austin Tatum. But anyway, it's just like black folks where I'm from, I don't know if it's a Southern black thing or not. I don't know black people that are fond of the LGBTQ movement. This is new black people. These are the new brainwashed black folks that are accepting of this. Black people that I grew up knowing, my family, grandparents, great-grandparents, they went to church. They had the Bible. They believe that you need to speak to God if you a man and you like another man. When I grew up, the culture that I grew up in, black folks wasn't doing no queer. Somebody running around saying they queer. I never heard of the word non-binary at a single point in my life. Transgender. You know how crazy that sounds? When I was growing up, if you was walking around a man, walking around twisting and doing all that, man, they will make fun of you. They would use this word that some people get offended by, and I'm going to say the word. They would call you a faggot. And they would make fun of you. And they would dog on you. I'm not saying that was right. But I tell you what, that's not black history. That's not culturally accepted in the black community. Now, there were people there who were gay, but you didn't come out as gay. They see you twisting. You in the choir at the church, doing the directing of the choir, doing all that stuff, twisting in the church. They know you twisting, but you ain't finna come out and be living you and another man at the church. They'll say, boy, you better let that man hand go. You better get off of that other man. Let us pray for you. That was the black history that I know of. Now they pushing. Listen, I want y'all to understand this very clearly. It's an agenda. This is not organic. This is an agenda. Black Lives Matter, led by three lesbian women. This is an agenda. These women didn't organically come up with something that was going to benefit the black community. Two women being together don't advance the black community. I'm just being honest with you. How you going to have kids? Oh, y'all ain't having no kids. Then the same people push abortions. How is abortion furthering the black community? If you can't have children, your population numbers are going to be decimated. And you ain't going to have nearly the leverage of people who are the majority in this country. I'm just keeping it 100. Go vote. If Hispanics outnumber black folks, what Hispanics want to happen is going to be above what black people want to happen. How many times do I got to tell you that? See, these other suckers ain't going to tell you that. But I'm giving you the truth. You show up and vote. This is not voting locally is not electoral college voting. It's by numbers, by popular demand. If you only make up 5% of the population and Hispanics make up 40% of the population, bro, they going to vote for their best interest. You don't have no say. And the reason why black people aren't 40% of the population right now is because Planned Parenthood, Margaret Sanger, the eugenicists, they did not want black folks to be overpopulated so they cannot take over. That's what Planned Parenthood is. And y'all sitting there still supporting Planned Parenthood. I'm not talking about y'all that are listening because y'all are perfect. Y'all ain't never did nothing wrong. I'm talking about somebody else that just tuned in that listened to D.L. Hughley and them. Planned Parenthood made sure black people couldn't populate the earth. The leading cause of death for black people in America is abortion. Disproportionately represented in abortion are black people in this country. And then they want to push the LGBTQ stuff and get your kids confused. And so they don't populate the world. They're not fruitful like God has called us to be. You want to tell me about racism and white supremacy? If there is a such thing that's pervasive racism and white supremacy, it's coming from Democrats and it's coming from black folks as well as white Democrats. You're talking about the education system in the inner city communities. These teachers are black. The principal is black. The vice principal is black. All these black people running these black schools, and they the dumbest schools in the city. Don't make me pull out the numbers. Because I know people don't like to hear this, but it's true. These black schools are underperforming disproportionately. Numbers that are crazy. I looked at a number, and I have to verify these numbers, but I could have sworn like the literacy rate for white kids were like 70-some percent. And black kids were like 16% or something crazy. That's asinine. And y'all up here wanting to teach your kids about LGBTQ. No, you need to teach them math and arithmetic. Reading. You teach your kids substantive things. They shouldn't. Let me not say this because I'm going to get trouble on the radio. Not literally, but figuratively. A parent should want to figuratively slap a teacher, figuratively, if you're going to teach kids things that do not help them develop as productive citizens in this country. You being non-binary don't get you anywhere in America. You figure that out when you're grown. Right now, you need to learn how to read. Need to understand not only how to say words, but how to interpret the English language. So you don't get taken advantage of. You need to be confident in reading. You need to be confident in doing math. Not just because 2 + 2 = 4, but math helps you think. Helps your brain process processes. Let me not say it like that. Help you figure out processes that your brain can develop that will help you in other aspects of your life. It's called critical thinking. You need to understand these skills. That's what they need to teach children. They don't need to be teaching them about Black Lives Matter and critical race theory. They can learn that in higher education. You need to understand history, and history don't involve you saying the white man is the enemy. Because if y'all really want to go there, the white man ain't the enemy of the black man. The black man is the enemy of the black man, not the white man. Why do you say that, Mr. Tatum? Who sold the slaves to the white man? Black people. What country would you want to live in? The one that's primarily black or the one that's primarily white? Which one? Name a black country that you're willing to move away from this primarily white country to move to the black country. Name one. Name a country. And then don't just name it. Go move there. Oh, you'd rather live in a white majority country than a black majority country. Then stop playing politics. Do you really want to go down that path? I would suggest that you back off of that race stuff and enjoy being an American. But if you want to play the race card, you're going to lose that race card. Anyway, I'm about to go off and lose my job at the same time. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. This is the Officer Tatum Show on the Salem News Channel, on the Salem Podcast Network, and right here, right now.
That's the way it's done. Y'all don't know nothing about that. Some of y'all got born because of this song. Anyway, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. Got born. Now, maybe I need to go back to school. Let me tell you about the My Pillow towel set. Get a 6-piece towel set, 2 hand towels, 2 bath towels, 2 washcloths for $49.99. And I don't think it's $49.99 unless you use my discount code. So put in discount code Brandon when you go to MyPillow.com. And I don't know what else cool stuff that they probably give you if you use my code. So when you go, don't forget to use Brandon as a discount code. But the My Pillow towel set is absolutely off the chain. We use them every single night. So this is not me just running my mouth and tell you something I read in a book. I'm telling you what I know. We use the towels. They work well. I love drying off with the My Pillow towels, face towels. We use all of them. And I'm here to tell you that you will not regret it. They got a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. So if you do regret it, turn it in. Send it back. Say, I don't want this crap. Get my money back. But I'm almost guaranteed that you ain't going to take and get your money back because the stuff is going to work. That's why they do a 60-day money-back guarantee. Come on. They trying to tease you into sending that thing back. Anyway, go to MyPillow.com. Put in discount code Brandon. All right, ladies and gentlemen. I didn't forgot what I was talking about. Oh. I swear I got Biden brain. I get in the break and I start running my mouth and I forget everything I was going to talk about. But I wanted to address this one thing that I saw. My guy, Nick over here, was telling me about it. I mean, he's always on the sports thing. And he was telling me about the Milwaukee Bucks decided to do for Pride Month, Pride Week, a Pride event, a Pride Night. They want to have drag queens perform at the halftime show. Now, we do know that there's children there at the halftime shows. And they got drag queens. These dudes dress like women in a provocative sexual way. I'm going to roll the clip for the people that are watching and for the people that are listening. You got these people literally dancing with sexually provocative clothes in a sexually provocative way. They wearing wigs. They doing all kind of stuff. I mean, literally, these look like slutty women. But these are dudes dressed like women. And they doing it in front of your kids without your kids' consent. To be honest, I mean, I would say without their consent, they're unaware that this is going to happen. And parents are exposing them to this. Let me just clear this up real quick. This is why I'm adamantly against the movement. Because why does Pride Month have to have anything to do with sexualizing anything? If this is not sinful sexual deviancy, then why is pride in your quote unquote sexuality has anything to do with sexual deviancy? Why can't this be women who are here just expressing themselves as women? But it's not women. These are men dressed like women. They're in drag. They're cross dressing. And then they're being sexualized women as a persona. It's crazy to me. Now, let me just explain this to you. What if heterosexual people did this? Because, you know, sexuality comes in all different forms of fashion. I know people that want to sleep with everything that walk with two legs. That's of the human race. Now, what if you had heterosexual Pride Month? And people are going out there on the dance floor and expressing their sexual deviancy. The promiscuity. Some people like to do a lot of crazy sexual acts. What if they had on the stage, they doing bondage? And all kind of tying people up and doing all that freaky stuff. Do you want? What if, you know, I don't want to go too detailed on the radio because, you know, I don't want to get too deep into it. But what if heterosexual people did stuff like this? You know, a strip club is a part of heterosexual experience. Not a Christian heterosexual experience, but the world. Now, why don't they let women put up a pole right in the middle of the dance floor? I mean, right in the middle of the court and start bouncing it like they do at the strip club. Hiking it up in the three-point stance like they do at the strip club. Why don't they let them do it like that? No, because that's inappropriate. But if you're LGBTQ, you can somehow strip and be slutty on the court with no repercussions. It's crazy. It's crazy to me. This is pointless and unacceptable. And I bet you the fans wasn't really familiar with this being a thing, but they did it anyway. And then also you got police officers coming out and saying, oh, we feel so comfortable and at home, you know, because they're expressing, you know, we feel good about it. You need to be doing your job. I don't give a F what you do in the bedroom. You need to be serving and protecting. And then just the looking at them officers that I saw on a little interview. Y'all ain't finna do nothing. Y'all just got a uniform on just to be present. You ain't finna do no fighting. You ain't finna do no nothing. Y'all out here tripping. Anyway, I would love to see them at the academy in the Red Man fight. Probably should have fired them. Now, I'm not saying specifically them. I don't know their thing. But in a lot of cases, this is what happens. They hire these people because they're called affirmative action hires. They ain't got no business being police officers. They shouldn't be wearing a uniform. They dare to be activists. They barely even made it through the academy, but they pushed them through because they need X amount of women on the police department. They need X amount of LGBTQ on the police department for representation. I used to be a police officer. I know that they do it. There's plenty of women should have been fired. Shouldn't have never had a badge. But they need X amount of women because they need diversity and inclusion. There were some Native people that became police officers. One girl shot. I don't know what she was thinking. She ended up shooting a gun accidentally. Thank God. One of the officers was leaning over in his patrol car and the bullet went right through the headrest. If he hadn't leaned over to grab something off the floor or do something, it was no threat anywhere. She fires a shot off, went right through the headrest. They eventually fired her. But from when the guys were telling me that she should have been fired 100 years ago. Oh, but it's an affirmative action hire. You know, it's funny because police officers should be impartial. You don't get to wear pride stuff and have all you are a police officer. You are impartial. That's just like police officers going out and you at the worship service in your uniform, worshiping Buddha and worshiping and Jesus and all these different things. That has no place on a police department. When you are in uniform, you are impartial representation of law enforcement. Your personal beliefs are irrelevant. It's irrelevant. I remember when I first got on police department, I wanted to wear a cross under my name badge. They said, no, you can't put that on your uniform. And it made sense to me because I'm here to represent everybody. I'm not here to be biased. Now, you talk to me about Jesus, you're going to get a sermon. But I'm not here to represent anything but the law. That's what I'm here to represent. While I'm in uniform. When I'm outside of uniform, I do whatever I want to do. But it's okay to be an activist when you LGBTQ. It's crazy to me. Imagine a police officer at a strip club. Imagine a woman at a strip club, twerking as a police officer in full uniform on a podium at a strip club twerking. She'll get fired. But you can be a drag queen police officer and they'll love you and praise you and you get a raise on the job. This country has gone mad. And I'm going to call it out every chance I get. And if you don't like it, I'm sorry. Take it up with the Lord. I'll be back after the break.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. Rattling trunks from sea to shining sea.
Ladies and gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. In the spirit of just debunking this fake feminism and transgenderism in our country, I want to play this clip from a young lady that just absolutely destroyed the living daylights out of a feminist. And it was on a show called Jubilee. And I participated on Jubilee. I mean, I think they do a tremendous job. It's called Middle Ground. And I don't know if this was a Middle Ground episode, but I was on Jubilee and it was conservative men versus trans men. And I have to say, I left the experience learning a lot because these women who took hormones, they looked like dudes. Some of them was a little. They were little and kind of wimpish looking. So you're like, oh, okay, I see that's a trans. But there was a few other ones that looked like dudes. Beards, deep voices, everything. There's no way in the world you'll know that's a girl. Because girls don't have beards. So with hormones and modern medicine and technology, you can make a girl turn into a man. And I'll tell you what, the ones that are tricky are the girls that turn into men. Because it's almost impossible for you to know that's a girl. Hairy legs, hairy armpits, beards, everything. Beard thicker than mine. But then the other way, you ain't gonna change that cheekbone, bro. You got Hulk Hogan cheeks. You got Hulk Hogan jawline. You ain't no way you a girl. But anyway, let me play this clip from Jubilee because I thought this was a good expression of a liberal logic getting wrecked. Roll the clip.
Earlier, it was mentioned by somebody on the anti-trans side about trans women coming in and taking over sports and things like that, which is just not true.
That is true.
It's not.
It is. I can show you a number of cases.
I can show you
there might be people that also haven't.
No, I can
men
show you a
sorry,
number.
Trans women retain 30% of their biological advantage.
That is not
if
true.
They went through male puberty. Yes, it is.
That is.
Yes, it is.
That is not.
Let's not argue about it. That's not even the prompt. I'm not going to argue about that.
Well, because you're wrong.
If you are a trans woman and you walk out in the world and you are seen as a man, you do not belong in women's spaces. I don't care what anybody says. I think that's ridiculous, and I think even trans women that have gender dysphoria that go through transition will agree with me.
This makes me so incredibly uncomfortable that we're even having this conversation.
You could go back over there if you really wanted to.
Ooh. If we took all of that off the table, right, if we're not talking about who can play sports with whom, can people exist as who they are?
Absolutely.
It sounded like you were saying if a trans woman doesn't look like what you perceive as looking like a woman, they shouldn't be in feminist spaces.
I didn't say that. I said they shouldn't be in female spaces.
Okay.
Not feminist spaces.
Okay.
I think women...
I disagree with that, but...
That's fine. It makes sense to biologically... classify people. It also makes sense to socially classify people. Let's say my friend Blair White was sitting right here. It's my buddy. I love her. She's sitting right here. Do I think she lives her life as a man? No. Like, we were talking about men making decisions for women as far as abortions are concerned. That's something she'll never experience.
There are women who biologically cannot produce. There are females, people assigned female at birth, who biologically cannot produce. Are you saying that those female women should not be able to have say in those laws?
That's not what I'm saying at all. I guess my main issue with trans women being seen as women and not being seen as trans women is they're changing the definition of women and expecting everybody to go along with that. And that affects me, yes, they are. And that affects me directly. You say trans women are women. Trans women are trans women. It's a very different experience.
Trans women are women.
We're just going to agree to disagree with that. If you ask feminists at a women's march what a woman is, they can't even define it. How can you protect something and empower something that you don't even know the actual definition of?
Ariel is her name. The people that's watching it on the video, you can see her name on there. But the people that listen on radio, her name is Ariel. It's fun. It's crazy to me. Trans women are women. Why do you call them trans then? You have to call them trans because, you know, they still got something down there. And if you go up on a date with a man and y'all go to the crib and you put out a fire banger, Somebody gonna have a problem. And they always make this argument and they say, well, if a woman can't have kids, do that not make her less of a woman? No. It don't matter if you can have kids or not. It matters if you have the equipment to have kids. If you have ovaries, you have fallopian tubes, you have a vagina, you have the weaponry in order to be classified as a woman. If you got testes, And you know, all of these different things, then you are a man. That's simple. It don't matter if you can, because a man may not be able to have children. But that whether he can have children or not, whether his tools are working or not, is irrelevant. Is do you have the tools? That's what make you a man. That's what make you a male. And men are very different than women. Like you can't compare yourself to a person. Let me just give you an example just real quick. If you have a gun but no bullets versus you not having a gun, that's two different things. You don't have a gun at all. A person that has a gun, whether they have bullets in the gun or whether they have a one in the chamber is irrelevant. They still have a gun. They still have potential to shoot you. If you ain't got a gun, you ain't got nothing. If you're a man and you're a woman, and you got ovaries and all this stuff, whether they work or not is irrelevant. What makes you a woman is the possession of those things, biologically. But, you know, I'm just going to leave it at that. Let me tell you about Relief Factor before I go to the break. If you look for a solution to aches and pains, if you look for something that works, Relief Factor is your supplement. I take Relief Factor every single day, and it works phenomenally. So I'm proposing to you to give it a try. 3-week quick starter for $19.95. Take it, watch it work, order more. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com, or 800-4-RELIEF. Tricky to rock a rhyme, to rock a rhyme. That's right, on time is tricky.
Seek and ye shall find. God's got your six, the Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, what's your way? Stuff, but I really want to save people's lives, and I really want the country to get back on the right track. They making me do it. I don't want to have to talk about transgenderism and call these people out, but they making me, they forcing my hand. Let me pull up the call list real quick. Y'all give me 1 second. I know I got the thing on here, and I'm gonna pull you guys up so I can see you from my computer. But yeah, I know I always got to talk about this and bring it up, and I really don't want to, but, you know, y'all, they make it hard on me, man. All right, just give me a call, because I can't, for some reason, it's going off my computer. Let me go with Julian in Pennsylvania.
Officer Tatum, thank you so much, and I just want to say God bless you, and keep doing what you're doing. It's not easy. It can't be easy, but... I love what you're doing, and you're great. And
thank you.
You're great. You really are.
And And thank you so much for saying that. I really appreciate the call. I think that's all she wanted to say. Let me go with let's go with Eric from San Jose, California. Eric, welcome to the Tatum,
how are you? Oh, thank you. Real quick, you know, the left likes to say and do what they consider intelligent things. That's earmarked by the fact that they come out of academia, you know, lots of research and everything else. The hoodwink here is this, is that, you know, how is it so intelligent if intelligence is reaction time? That is the amount of time it takes to react, to save your life, to reproduce, etc. For the left to take a person who was born as a man and say that they can be as spontaneous as a woman and have the same reaction time to give birth in an amount of time that a person who is born as a woman with ovaries, as you're saying. There is no way you can tell me that I could take my little sister and put it up against a transgendered woman and her not win ever that race to have a child. So the essence of a woman, you can argue it all the way you want, the essence of a woman is her ability in reaction time to spontaneously have children. You're not going to do it right away, but you're going to work on it. Men can't do that. That's the bottom line question. Argument over. I mean, you can act like it, but it's not going to be true. And so that's the point. And I think you were trying to make it, and I don't know if I made it well enough, but the point is let's have a race from one place to another, and a person who was born as a woman will always win that race. And it's going 100%. To be a lot of money, time, energy, and I agree with you 100% to really even fake that race as if you're ever going to get there as quickly as a woman. Will you also have the hormonal effects that a woman will have to be able to have affect atonement to their child, to understand what the child's affect is and the spontaneous bonding between a woman and a man and her child? No, that won't ever happen. That won't happen that way because men who are born men don't actually have that ability. And so that's just what I was wanting to say is that it's just not going to work, folks. You're eventually just going to go by the wayside eventually. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Eric, thank you so much for the call. I'm glad he brought up a few points there. There are certain innate things that women have that men do not have. You could take as much hormones, estrogen as you can. You just don't have the innate ability to do a lot of things that women are born to do. When you give birth, like I'm just telling you, like it's not the end of the world. But if you are a woman and you give birth to a child, there's an emotional connection that you cannot mimic in any other aspect. And the funny thing is they want to say, oh, you know, woman this, a woman that, woman this. No, a trans person needs an actual woman to have a kid. If you want to have a kid with a surrogacy or whatever, you need an actual woman. You can't do a fake woman. All right, let's do it like this. If trans women are actually women, go to a trans woman and say, can you be a surrogate for me? Oh, they can't do it because you're not a woman. They need to go to a real biological woman in order to have a surrogate. They can't go to a fake woman, a playing woman. You name a transgender woman that gave birth, and I'll shut my mouth. You ain't a woman. And it's not a big deal. Just be real with yourself. You live your life presenting as a woman, but you're not an actual woman. You're going to go get that prostate check. Just go ahead and hike it up on that table like every other man have to do. No shame in your game. Keep it real with other people. Say, look, I'm a man. I was born a man. I'm identified as a woman. Somebody may be all right with that. But you can't say, no, I'm a woman. It's two different things. You know, and I tell you what, I mean, if we relied on this stupidity for civilization, we would never know what was going on in ancient history. We'll never be able to put two and two together. Because then you'd be looking at the Roman Empire, digging up fossils and wondering, I don't know if they were a man or a woman. Did they identify as a man or a woman? Were they non-binary? That stuff is stupid and it don't matter. Get real. You know, I think people need to get out of their heads and go back to like thinking about the world in a very basic way. We are creations from God, very similar to other animal creations, right? We're like animals. We're just a species with high intelligence and a spirit inside of us. But we still poop like animals. We have children. We have babies. I mean, all this other stuff. And we die and we go back to the dust just like everything else. We just so happen to have a spirit and made in the likeness of God. But outside of that, we just like animals. If you saw a male lion humping another male lion, people would lose their mind and be like, what the is going on with that lion? Why is that man, that big mane lion on top of the other one? And then in the natural reality of that perspective is that that lion will be dead, will die off, never to be seen again. It doesn't work in any other aspect of society. There's a positive and a negative. And if the positive and negative don't connect, there's no life form. If two positives run into each other, there's no life form. If lions were all gay, there would be no more lions. They would be extinct. Same thing with humans. That should tell you something, especially for the people that don't believe in God, that just believe in just science. But anyway, slimy politicians fight for abortion because they need it. It's their way out of a problem with their girlfriends. Slimy politicians' wives need it for the same reason. Don't threaten my husband. Take care of this and shut up. Why are so many liberals quick to say women deserve abortion rights, yet run and hide when women need help with daycare, job training, and housing? I need you guys to put your money where your mouth is at if you care about women and you care about women giving life to children. The abortion argument shouldn't even be close. And Save the Storks is 100% behind women choosing life and giving them opportunities to make better decisions and not have to fall to Planned Parenthood for abortions. I need you guys to go to SaveTheStorks.com now and be a member. $35 a month to be a monthly partner. SaveTheStorks.com.org. Officer Tatum Show, my last segment of the day. I saw a couple of you callers call in, and I saw the things that you had to say, and I appreciate all your comments. I want to make sure I make a clarification on Save the Storks. If you were listening, Save the Storks is a nonprofit organization that really helped women find their way through this crazy world past the abortion clinic on to better options and better choices. They have a stork bus that they pull up different places and where women can actually go in the bus, get an ultrasound and see that it's not just a clump of cells and get resources for free in order for them to make the right decision for them and their families outside of murder at Planned Parenthood. I want you guys to become a monthly partner with a gift of $35 a month. So if you want to make a difference and you want an organization that's really doing what they say they're doing, I know the people at Save the Storks. I've been involved. We've supported organizations like this, and we support Save the Storks as well. I want you guys to really consider being a monthly partner with them. $35 a month. Go to SaveTheStorks.org. Save the Storks. Save the T-R-S-T-O-R-K-S Storks.gov. I mean, org. God dang it, boy. Org. All right. I think I didn't got that right. All right, it's starting to wrap up the show. I want to bring some people in, but I'm going to end up having to cut you off very quickly. So I'm going to finish the show. You can call in tomorrow. I think tomorrow is Friday. You can call in tomorrow, and maybe we can continue this conversation. But the circle of the wagon, I cannot wait until this body-worn camera footage come out against these come out in relation to the Memphis police officers, these five black police officers that were canned and charged with all kinds of crimes. I mean, they were charged with second degree murder, which is intentional murder. They were charged with aggravated assault, aggravated kidnapping, and official misconduct is some type of a crime. And they were also fired for violating department policies, including using excessive force, failing to intervene, and failing to render aid. These are all serious charges, and how all five police officers were involved in killing a black man is something that I need to see the body-worn camera before I fall for the trap once again. And I hope that you do the same thing. Wait till the information come out that's sufficient enough that you can make a clear evaluation. But just know, when that body-worn camera come out, ladies and gentlemen, you can find me on the YouTube channel. I'll talk about it here on the show, but I'll do a more of a detailed breakdown on the YouTube channel. You could see it for yourself and get a fair evaluation. I love you guys. Y'all have a blessed night. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Hold the phone.
This is the Officer Tatum Show.
What's going on, y'all? This is Brandon Tatum. I just want to thank you so much for listening to my podcast. You can always get the podcast at Salem Podcast Network or wherever you listen to your podcast.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.